This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you with us this afternoon as we talk to a new state representative. David Rowe was elected in a special election to replace Fred Keller, who himself was elected to the U.S. Congress in a special election. So now the 85th state representative is David Rowe. He is one of the youngest in the legislature, as you'll hear, not the youngest. He also has another distinction, which we'll talk about today, as we get a chance to meet him and hear what he's all about and what he plans for the district and for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Representative David Rowe, thanks for being with us on the program.
Let me first get a bit of your background coming to this place in your life. So many times I've talked to legislators who came from a background as a lawyer or business. You're a little different, a little younger too. Are you the youngest in the legislature right now or close to it?
Probably close to it, but I'm definitely not the youngest. Okay. I'm outranked on that scale by, I think, three or four other individuals currently. I would have thought I would have been. There's some individuals that came in when they were 24, 25 years old, so I'm not even the youngest in that regard.
Wow. Okay. Now, yeah, as far as background, just give us your biography in a nutshell.
I grew up in Vicksburg, a little area between Lewisburg and Mifflinburg. Was homeschooled. My father worked for the Bureau of Prisons, and so when my So they move you around a lot when you work for the Bureau of Prisons. So my older siblings were all homeschooled. My parents didn't want to do them in and out of school all the time because my dad would be moved from Connecticut to Leavenworth, Kansas, to back and forth. So by the time we settled here and I was born growing up, my mom had just been homeschooling her kids before. So, hey, she thought she'd stick with it. And I'm very glad that she did. After I finished my homeschooling education, I actually ended up going up on a senior trip to Southeast Asia to do some teaching, some mission work capacity, doing character English camps for kids in Hong Kong, southern Taiwan. And while I was over there, I actually got offered a job. I got offered a job there to basically work a lot in the Aboriginal villages where they tend to not have the resources to bring in foreign language teachers. So we spent a lot of time working in the Aboriginal villages of Taiwan. We spent time working for the Department of Social Welfare and Development in Manila. I spent some time in Hong Kong, some time in Thailand, all in the vein of working in education, character education, after-school programs. It definitely sort of doubled as an opportunity to be a witness in that area of the world. We were able to bring cultural lessons, you know, the American holidays of Christmas and Easter, and why do we celebrate them, and what's the background there? So it certainly was an opportunity there. After spending a few years there, I went to the National Sun Yat-sen University to study Mandarin Chinese before coming back here, starting a business with my brother, CrossFit Lewisburg now, Lewisburg Fitness Incorporated. We do corporate wellness consulting, personal training, nutrition, group classes. And then I was appointed to the East Buffalo Township Board of Supervisors a couple of years ago and went from there to running for State House, and here we are.
Yeah, that's so
unconventional life path. That's the word I was looking for. Unconventional.
Yeah, that's the one I would have come up with eventually, because that definitely describes it. Far from typical, and a good endorsement for homeschool kids who, if they get take any flack, you say, hey, I know a homeschooler who's in the State House.
Mm-hmm. I'm the third homeschooler, I think, third or fourth. Oh, okay. I'm actually not sure. Something I think is a fun little small world story is right to my left on the House floor. You know, there's 203 of us there. The guy that sits right on my left is also homeschooled, and he grew up in Perry County. And we actually ended up having squirt gun fights at a homeschool gathering over in the New Columbia area many, many years ago. And now we sit side by side on the House floor. So it's a very small world, and homeschoolers are rising.
Now you, so you were appointed to the supervisor board. Now, did you re-elected to that, or was that recently enough that you didn't have time to run for re-election?
So the supervisor's term runs for 6 years, and the supervisor there had retired with 2 years left in his term. And so I was appointed to fill that role and was coming up on the election, which we just had yesterday, which would have been for that seat. But I ran for this office instead and won. And so I resigned from there once I started running for this.
To appoint 25 or at the time to be appointed to that. Mm-hmm. Or what was your position in the community that you stood out to those folks? As have you been active in politics and other areas?
I've always been involved in the political arena. I was 9 years old when my parents took me to make phone calls for George W. Bush the first time in the year 2000. And ever since then, I've always sort of been involved, if it's helping out with campaigns, if it's working for the Pennsylvania Family Council in some regard. I've always sort of been involved. The township had gone through an era of leadership where we had annual tax increases, where we had some very bad decisions made, some very poorly designed intergovernmental agreements. And so it definitely drew some notice for me. And we had a strong takeover of the board by a more fiscally conservative group. And so thankfully, thanks to Matt Schumacher and Char Gray, they took a hold of the reins and ran things quite well. So when the all this was sort of happening, I took an interest in the township affair, started attending meetings, and attended meetings for over a year just to be involved, just to hear what was going on, without really any objective in mind. But when the third supervisor retired and left the vacancy, I applied for the seat, and it was very easy for them to make the decision to appoint me because I'd been to every meeting, I knew what the issues were, and there'd be meetings where I'm the only one in the audience, but those are the issues, the meetings where they discuss the issues that you need to be aware of. So that was sort of my background there. I think they chose me because I had been around, I'd put the time, and I'd become familiar. I think just also my role as a local business owner. I've been involved with the Capital Campaign Council for the Evangelical Community Hospital. We do some fundraising events there, a lot of philanthropic options and things to where I've spent enough time in the community, I think, to where for people to see me in sort of that role wasn't necessarily a surprise.
Okay. And then, because I know as soon as Fred announced he was running and this seat could be open, I heard your name mentioned by people. So I guess that was, they said this is a guy who is on the rise and is going places, I guess.
And the president actually pointed out when he was over in Western PA, he gave Fred Keller a shout out and said, nobody fights harder than Fred Keller. And I think he's exactly right on that. When I knew that Fred Keller had announced his candidacy, I assumed that he would probably win because I knew that he would be working very hard for it. And hard work pays off, as anybody will tell you. And so I assumed that he would be victorious. And so that's sort of what gave me the motivation to consider running for this if he was successful, which I assumed he would be.
And now that Fred's a U.S. congressman, I always said now I can a U.S. congressman could call me by name on the street because now I know one.
It's been a joke. I was just over in Beaver Springs the other day touring the Conestoga Wood Specialties factory out there, and Fred worked there for many, many years. That was one of his first jobs. He rose up to be plant manager there, and I know that a lot of the employees there think the same way. They think, wow, isn't it amazing, this guy that we knew, he worked here on the floor with us for years and years, now he's our congressman. How times change, and hard work pays off, and nobody works harder than Fred.
Okay. And your drive is evident here. So I can see that you're ready to go. You've taken on the job, and give us just a look at what's happened so far. Kind of that transition to waking up one morning saying I'm a state legislator. I mean, that's got to be an odd feeling.
It is. It absolutely is an adjustment, but I absolutely love it. The difference in coming in on a special election, which I came in on, as opposed to coming in on just a general election year, is that they don't do orientation at the Capitol. So they basically say, you know what, good luck, you'll probably figure it out. Fortunately, the other legislators are very helpful. They're helping me make sure I know which conference rooms I'm supposed to get to. The Capitol is a bit of a maze. So making sure I know which conference room I need to be at when, the rules of the House, those sorts of things. People have been very helpful. Fred Keller himself has been very helpful, reaching out, making sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. So thankfully, I have a very good support group. I've got wonderful staff here at the Mifflinburg office. I've got wonderful staff in my Harrisburg office, and they have been just been instrumental in this transition.
And you're in what was Fred's office. There's no move there, so at least that made a little bit of a smoother transition, probably.
Yep, absolutely. And if people have visited the office before and they need to visit again, it's all the same place, same people. In Harrisburg, it's the office is 141 in the East Wing, really easy to find, just second story in the East Rotunda. If they need to find the Mifflinburg office, it's still 343 Chestnut Street, same building as the district court. Darwin and Gail are in the Mifflinburg office. Kirsten's down at the Harrisburg office, so lots of familiar faces. Fred had a good thing going. I thought we should keep it going.
Okay. And, it's always been easy to get a hold of Fred and deal with Fred, and I'm finding the same thing here. So we're happy for that because we hope to return here and get updates periodically from you. Now, what would you say? I mean, obviously, as, you know, brand new legislator, you have the totem pole to climb, but or whatever the analogy is there. But you know, you're kind of things would you like to push? Not just approve or disapprove, but what things would you like to personally advance?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. They the House Secretary periodically releases the seniority list, and I had a couple of people, chuckling, sending me screenshots that I'm, out of 203 reps, I'm number 203. But on the upside, I got nowhere to go but up from here. In regards to the second part of your question, I think there's a lot of exciting things coming up. The reason I ran for this is because I do believe that I reflected the opinions, the thought process, the convictions, the ideologies of the district. I share a lot of the beliefs, the passions, and the concerns that the people all across Union and Snyder County share. One of the big things that we're working on currently is a lot of the factors that are limiting Pennsylvania's ability to be a competitive state when it comes to economic growth. We have the third highest tax burden in the nation. We're one of the worst states to do business with, and that's because our cumulative tax burden is just overwhelming. When you factor in our personal income tax and the gas tax and the inheritance tax and any sort of property tax and this the impact fee, and then you factor in the corporate net income tax, which is the third highest in the nation, the highest gas tax in the nation, you factor all those together and our tax burden is overwhelming. Why would any business want to move here when we just have that sort of very hostile business environment? So I've been working with a group of legislators, and there's a very new caucus that we're calling the Economic Growth Caucus. And we actually are trying to simply zero on what can we get done. You know, oftentimes in the political realm, it's all about getting the good sound bites, and then you kind of move on to the next thing. But we had a very intentional sit down with the Secretary of Revenue, the governor's appointee, a couple of weeks ago to basically say, what can we get done? You know, no media, no press. We're not looking for quotes or sound bites. What will the governor agree to? Because even the governor, as a businessman, has to agree that our business climate is unsustainable, and it's not going to do Pennsylvania any good. We are in the middle of one of the biggest economic booms in history for the state with the natural gas, and if we were able to take advantage of that and harness that growth by making Pennsylvania a business-friendly place, we could see unprecedented economic growth. But a lot of businesses just can't be bothered. They'll check Pennsylvania off the list before anything else when they look at our tax burdens. So that's sort of been our current focus is to zero on what can we get done there. If that means a cut to the net income tax, if it means a holistic approach to tax reform, but those conversations are moving forward and I'm excited to see where they end up.
So a definite path you've charted out and begun to take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the important thing that in that group that we're looking for is people who have signed both sides of a check. And we found that a lot of members of the General Assembly have never had to manage a business budget or employees or had to work around these sorts of policies that make it difficult to run a business here. And so that's this sort of perspective that we're really trying to bring. I mean, even for my small business, less than 10 employees in central Pennsylvania, even for me to open my doors, I had to get a permit and pay a fine. And I wanted to put up a sign, I had to get a permit and pay a fine. And everywhere along the way, I was, being hassled here and there about this regulation or that regulation. And every one of those fines and fees is just another tax levied on top of everything else that we're already paying. So it just makes business very difficult to do in Pennsylvania.
And obviously, the area you represent, Snyder and Union, not in its entirety, but
yeah, almost almost all of both. So I have all of Union County except for White Deer and Gregg townships, and that's like the New Columbia Allenwood area, and those are up north in Garth Everett's district. Those districts, you know, we got a census coming up, so all these boundary lines might change in a year or two. But that's the northern end, and then the district from east to west is just the whole length from the Susquehanna River all the way out to Hartley Township. And then in Snyder County, it's most of the county except for a couple of municipalities that are carved out into Representative Linda Culver's district, and that would be Monroe Township, Schmokendam Borough, the Borough of Freeburg, Chapman Township, Washington Township. They're all in the periphery, yep. Okay. It definitely is a little odd when you look at the map, because I've got the Selins Grove Borough, but then it's bookended on each side, and those are in Linda's district, so it kind of, the lines aren't exactly, aren't easy to remember.
Now, you represent Union and Snyder County, or at least most of them, and obviously a very conservative area, so again, like you said, it fits your beliefs, your politics, and what your thoughts are for, you know, how you'll vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm very fortunate in that regard, because I know a lot of legislators sort of have to balance what their district wants versus what their personal convictions may be. And for me, I don't have that problem because I share the personal convictions of the district. Growing up homeschooled, growing up in a church, I still play the piano for my church. I've been there for years and years. It's really easy and really, I think, wonderful. It's a blessing to me, really, to be able to be, you know, to be able to be a proud professor of my Christian faith. It is able to be a staunch conservative, both fiscally and socially. I'm able to be pro-life. I'm able to be pro-Second Amendment. And I'm able to be all of those things proudly because that's what the district believes in. And so I'm very fortunate in that regard.
Probably easier to run for re-election, too, when you know the people aren't going to say,
right,
you know, hey, this guy.
Right, absolutely. It's a lot easier because it is what I truly believe in. It's what the things that I've supported will reflect that. We actually just introduced the heartbeat bill just 2 weeks ago, sponsored by Representative Stephanie Borwitz and in the Senate by Senator Mastriano. And I think that's a really exciting bill and one that I would hope would be instrumental in opening the eyes of people to the value of the sanctity of human life. The entire intent of the bill basically states that if a heartbeat is detected, an abortion cannot be performed. And it asks a very valid question, is if we are, you know, declared dead when our heart stops, why are we not alive when our heart starts? And so that is the sort of legislation that I'm really happy to be a part of. I was happy to be there for the press conference. We were there for an hour and a half, which is a very long press conference, but it was excellent. The keynote speaker was a young woman whose mother was raped when she was very, very young. And so the mother chose to keep the child. And even though it was a horrible scenario, the daughter that she had is such a blessing to her and has been a blessing to so many, is just a staunch advocate for the value of human life.
And now that's, for folks hearing this, if they haven't heard this information before, it's a bill that would be vetoed by the governor, but obviously it's something that you can bring back down the road with a different administration.
Yes, yep, and the governor did double down on his promise to veto the bill, which I'm very disappointed by. I mean, this would, I would imagine, be something that... It's hard to argue that something with a beating heart shouldn't have its life protected. And that's something that I believe very strongly in. So yes, the governor has vowed to veto it, but I also do believe that there are some who would say, well, if he's going to veto it, why bother running it? And I think that is a very short-sighted perspective to have, because just because somebody else will do the wrong thing doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing the right thing. And so I would be happy to vote for and co-sponsor and run that bill every single year, regardless of whether or not the governor vetoes it or not, because that way we have done our due diligence in the eyes of God and man.
Now, you're obviously have done your homework and knew a little bit coming into this what you were getting into, but have you seen any surprises so far that you said, you know, this is... not necessarily I don't want to do this, but maybe I wasn't expecting it.
I would say one of the things that surprised me most of all is the tone of civility in Harrisburg, almost to a certain degree, where from the outside, and if all you ever do is watch social media and the talk shows, you would think that the environment would be quite hostile. But I have been encouraged that even though within the House we might have very clear disagreements on policy issues, at least to a personal degree, the atmosphere is very civil, and so that was encouraging to see. because from the outside, you wouldn't imagine it to be that way.
You didn't know what walking in, what right. you were getting into.
Yep, and the day I was sworn in, I was received just as warmly by my Democratic colleagues as my Republican colleagues. So just to give a shout out, that is, it's refreshing to see that politics doesn't have to be personal. And I would hope that, you know, listeners would remember that, and that you could have friends, family, neighbors. I have friends, family, and neighbors who might disagree with me on every issue politically. But I think it's important to be able to put that aside and realize that having a personal relationship with your friends and family, being able to be that witness, is far more important than maybe a disagreement you have politically.
That wraps up our program for today. We've been talking with the new state representative for the 85th Legislative District, David Rowe. He was elected in that recent special election, and we invited him to the program today to give you a chance to get to know him. Representative Rowe, thanks for being with us on the program. We want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.